In this edition of Science Journal, two interviews with Czech scientists who have recently published two very different articles in the prestigious American journal Nature, one mapping biodiversity mathematically and one fighting HIV. First is biologist and ecologist David Storch, who, along with his American colleagues, has come across a fascinating fact of nature, that the dependency of a given number of endemic animals on their environment creates a reliable mathematical pattern. It can tell us the rate at which a species will die off if its environment is destroyed. And interestingly, it applies universally, anywhere in the world, to vertebrates at least. Dr. Storch is the head of the Center for Theoretical Studies.
The point is that the people use the species-area relationship, which is the relationship between area and number of species within the area, to estimate the current species loss, current species extinction. But the more appropriate pattern for this is the other pattern I have mentioned, this the relationship between area and number of endemics. And we have shown that it is also universal, so we are able to predict the number of extinct species with area loss, exactly. Yeah.
And so are you able to say what would happen in a certain place under specific circumstances? For example, just to give an example, a European forest being encircled by housing development.
Well, yes, but of course we are able only to speak about the mean numbers. So it is actually quite rough estimate. But our results actually show that number of species which potentially go extinct is more or less proportional to the area loss. So it's simple proportionality. But it is just a relative number. But the absolute number depends on mean range size. If species have small range sizes, if they occur only in limited area, the absolute number of extinct species is higher than if the species are widespread, which is quite obvious if you think about it.
And if we apply it specifically to the Šumava forest, for example, where the bark beetle rampage is destroying trees and they're trying to tear down the trees to destroy the bark beetle in turn, is there anything specific that can be gleaned by applying this pattern there?
The point is that I do not believe that there are real endemics in Šumava Mountains. So it is very improbable that any of the species would become extinct, because all the species which live in Šumava Mountains live also somewhere else. So I would not expect any really global extinction because these are widespread species in the forest. But the truth is that if there were endemics in Šumava as well, we would be able to predict the rate of extinction.
And so how did you reach your result? What was the process of your work?
Okay, we just took the global data of distribution of all species of birds, amphibians, and mammals. And the advantage is that today we have really global distribution data in all the continents, and we just calculated number of species in different size windows on the Earth. And we realized that the relationship is different from what you normally find in the textbooks. In the textbooks, you find that the relationship should be linear if both area and the number of species is expressed in logarithmic scale. But we have found that actually the relationship is in this scale, logarithmic scale, upward accelerating, and also that it is universal for all the taxa. But basically we took the databases of all distributions of these three vertebrate classes across the world.
And were you surprised by that result, or was that your initial hypothesis?
Actually, it was. There were some theories which claimed that this should be the pattern. But we were surprised by the universality of the patterns, because we have realized that if we express area, if we standardize area and express it in the units which correspond to mean geographic range of species of every class, of these three classes in every continent, all the curves, which are upward accelerating, as I have mentioned, collapse into one general relationship. And this was really a big surprise, because this was not clear from the theories. And this, the second thing which surprised us was that when we plotted the endemics RR relationship, so the relationship between species which are confined just to the particular RR and don't occur anywhere else, then the relationship was more or less linear. And this is something which has never been described.
And lastly, how does this knowledge help us in practical terms from your point of view?
Well, you know, there is a long, long way from this very like basic theoretical result to the practical things. But I think the most important finding is that potential extinction rate is more or less proportional to the area destroyed. So it's really quite a high rate of extinction related to the destruction of natural habitats. And also the other point which is important, but it is also something which has been known for a long time, is that the most vulnerable species are obviously the species which have very limited range size, which are located only in very small areas.
That was biologist and ecologist David Storch talking about his co-discovery of a new pattern of biodiversity. Elsewhere in Czech science, in the Institute of Chemical Technology to be exact, researchers have made a step forward in the fight against HIV/AIDS. What scientists like our next guest have done is find a new weak spot in the virus, one that can potentially be used to attack it in its immaturity, in its most vulnerable stage of development, and kill it in the bloodstream. Tomáš Rummel is one of those who has worked on this and other aspects of HIV for 17 years. I asked him, first of all, if that was indeed a proper explanation of such a complicated endeavor.
It's fair to say that we step forward with understanding of the particle and how it assembles and with the interactions. And this is the way how to design maybe more efficiently inhibitors. And on top of this, inhibitors which would block the first step of the assembly, which is assembly of so-called immature particles. Because virus goes through two forms. First one is assembled in the infected cell, which is immature particle. And then after release from the cells, it's completely reorganized after cleavage of by protease. And this is and assembles again, but in some other form, which is called mature form.
Is your work already being put to practice in making better inhibitors, or how long a process will that be?
Actually, many laboratories are focused on making inhibitors, and I'd like to say we were the first who showed that the retrovirus-like particles can be assembled in vitro from isolated proteins. And this opened the way for many laboratories to study the assembly and organization of particles and interaction with compounds inhibiting the assembly. And now, with this understanding, we can see the shape of the molecules in the particles. And this would allow fitting in silico by computer some compounds into the particles. And this is the research we plan for the next couple of years. And many laboratories are focused on this. But the structure of the immature particles in this resolution was not known, in contrast to the mature particles.
You've said that your research is a hot field for scientists. Where do you think the field will be in 5, 10, 15 years?
Hard to predict, and in the beginning, scientists were very optimistic when HIV and AIDS emerged. Somebody said it's a question of 2 years to develop efficient antibodies. So I'm very careful to do such prediction. Actually, there are some promising inhibitors of even of assembly, because as you probably know, retrovirus is the copying of the genome. Is very inaccurate. It makes many errors, which makes many mutants, and some of them are resistant to inhibitors. Therefore, there is need for new inhibitors. They are now quite efficient inhibitors of virus enzymes like protease and reverse transcriptase. And these are the compounds they are nowadays used for treatment of AIDS. But still, new resistant mutants are emerging, so therefore is need for new inhibitors.
Tomáš Ruml of the Prague College of Chemical Technology there, discussing Czech breakthroughs in the battle against HIV, ending this edition of Science Journal. More for you this time next month.